Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Pei Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Pei Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. In the previous shiur, we had learned the machlokes of the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbanon holding that not taking a bath is considered inui nefesh, and Rabbi Yossi disagreeing, Rabbi Yossi holding that not taking a bath is not considered inui nefesh. So the Gemara begins with a shayla. Here we find, in our sugya, the Rabbi Yossi holds not taking a bath is not considered inu nefesh. There's a tosefta that says, Main shabneya ir. You have a river, and the river is on a mountain, the water of the river flowing from the top of the mountain down. So actually, two cities are sharing this river, the people on the top and the people on the bottom. And there isn't enough water, says the Braisa. Chayeyan v'chaye acherim. The people on the city on the top could get the water, or they could let the people on the bottom get the water. So Allah is chayeyan kaidman. Their needs come first. As the Rishonim explained, that even though the Torah uses the words, v'chay achicha imach, that you have to take care of your brother, but imach, you have to take care of yourself first. And therefore they take the water first. Chayein koidmim l'chay acherim. Behemtam o behemas acherim. The question is for water for the animals. Both cities have enough water for the people. The question is they need now water for the animals. So the halacha is that the people on the top could take their water for their animals first. Behemtam koidemas l'behemas acherim. And the Rishonim point out that isn't this an obvious halacha? If just like Chayim come first, Behemtam come first. So Rishonim said that the Rice is teaching us that they're allowed to take care and give their animals as much water as their animals need without being concerned about the animals in the lower city. The Magen Avraham, the Paiskim, used this Gemara to teach us a halacha that we're well aware of. The halacha is that when it comes to eating, a person has to feed his animals before he eats himself. First we'll give you, we say every day in Krishna, and then you'll eat. Now the question is, what about drinking? So the Magen Avraham says that even though when it comes to eating, a person has to feed his animals before he takes care of himself, when it comes to drinking, a person takes care of himself first. And there's a raya from the Torah, because we find that when Eliezer meets Rivka, Rivka tells Eliezer, Shkei, you should drink, the Gamel Gamelcha Ashken, then afterwards your camels will drink. Say to Mefarshim, Al Gemara is another right to that point. Because it says here that first we speak about the drinking of the people, and then we speak about the drinking of the animals. So we see that when it comes to water, to drinking, people precede animals. Continues the Braisa. Kvisason the Kvisos Acherim. Here is a question of laundry. We need water for our own laundry and the next city's laundry. Again, kvisos and kodemus l'kvisos acherim. Their laundry needs come first. And the Mefarshim point out that the Ran says kvisoson means kvisos begdeyim, washing their clothes. So all the Mefarshim ask, obviously, we know what kvisoson means. What's the Ran teaching us? So the Mefarshim explain what the Ran is teaching us is as follows. Even though the Bryce is teaching us that their needs in washing clothing come before the needs of the next city, that's only if they need the water to wash their own clothing. But let's say the people in the upper city need the water not to wash their own clothing. They're in the laundry business. And they're washing clothing of other cities. That doesn't take precedence. Only their own washing takes precedence. If we have a situation that the next city needs the water for their human needs, and the first city needs the water for laundry needs, so the halacha is, chaya cherem koyim l'skvisosan. Their drinking needs come before our laundry needs. And the Chasam Sofer uses this Gemara to teach us a very important halacha. He says that we know that in Hilchas Tzedakah, Ani Ircha Kaidman, the first people you have to take care of the people of your own city. Afterwards come Ani Eretz Yisrael, and after Ani Eretz Yisrael come all other Anim. says the Chasam Sofer, that is not a hard and fast rule. You have to see the needs of the people. That means, let's say they are near Ircha, but the people in your city aren't that desperate, and the people in another city are desperate. We don't say that in the Ircha come first, because our Gemara is teaching us that if the people of our city need laundry and the people of the next city need water, they come first. So you have to see what the needs of every city are before determining who has Kedima. The Rishonim also discuss our Mishnah, our Gemara is referring to water for drinking and water for laundry. What about our city needs the water for the animals, and the next city needs the water for people? Who comes first? It's interesting, Machlokes Rishonim. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi says, Kvisosam koidemes l'chayacher. If this city, the city that's closer to the water, needs the water for laundry, and the next city needs it for drinking, laundry takes precedence. So before we go into the Gemara, it's very difficult to understand Rabbi Yossi's opinion. The next city the people need it for drinking, and this city needs it for laundry, does that come first? So I saw two pshatim that are very relevant, l'aloch l'maisel. The first pshat is that it's not a situation, they explain, that the next city has nothing to drink. They have to drink, but they could use more drinking water. So says Rabbi Yossi, we don't have to give them extra drinking water if we need it for our laundry. But certainly if they have nothing to drink, Rabbi Yossi would agree that they come first. Another pshat, which many Paiskim say, the Netziv says it, is that here we learn the halacha that if somebody has a suffix sakana, it's a question that will bring him to sakana. And even though the next person is a vadei sakana, a person doesn't have to put himself into a situation of suffix sakana, even though the next person is in a vadei sakana. So since here, as we're going to learn, Rabbi Yossi holds, doing laundry is so important, even though it's a suffix, if you don't do your laundry, suffix sakana takes precedent over vadei sakana. And actually, this is the basis for halacha that all of us actually follow on a daily basis. We read in the paper many times, there are people that need a kidney transplant. So the question is, why don't each one of us have an obligation to donate our kidneys? A kidney, we could survive with one kidney, to donate a kidney for the next person who is in serious danger without having a kidney. The answer is because we're in a suffix sakana, if we'll take out a kidney, and one is not obligated to put himself into a suffix sakana, even though the next person is in a vade sakana. The question is how far to apply this concept. I saw a tshuva from the Klaus Magareba. He was asked by a person who has a very rare blood type, so he's constantly being asked to donate blood. Is he obligated to constantly donate blood because his blood is needed? Now, donating blood is not really something that's a great danger to give blood. On the other hand, it's a bother and the person doesn't want to do it. Is it considered a situation of suffix sakana that he doesn't have to do because even if the next person is in a vade sakana? But now the Gemara gets to its question. Hashtag kvisa om Rabbi Yossi, yesh by tsargof. We learned, we said at the beginning of our shiur, that according to Rabbi Yossi, not taking a bath is not considered sakana, is not considered inu nefesh, as we learned in the previous shiur. Ask the Gemara. Here Rabbi Yossi says laundry is so important. Guf kuloi like kalshkein, so certainly taking a bath should even be more important. So how can we hold? How can we say Rabbi Yossi doesn't consider taking a bath to be inu nefesh, and Rabbi Yossi considers laundry already to be so important? So the Ran asks, why is the Gemara only focused on Rabbi Yossi? Why doesn't the Gemara focus on the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon said that in the previous shiur that taking a bath is considered inui nefesh, and here they're not worried about laundry. Why? Why doesn't the Gemara ask that question? So the Ran gives two terutzim. One terutz that the Ran says is that yesterday we were talking about bath, the person himself washing himself. That the Rabbanon considered inui nefesh. Here we're talking about the clothing. They're not as concerned about the clothing as they are about the person. Another teretz is that the Rabbanan do agree that doing laundry is very important. It's only not that important, it's not more important than the next city drinking water. What would be the nafkamina between the two terutzim? Is laundry considered inu nefesh? According to the first teretz, the Rabbanan don't even hold laundry to be inu nefesh. According to the second teretz, they do consider it inu nefesh, they just don't consider it as important as the next city getting water. says the Gemara, Amri, in. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, Kvisa Limel Rabbi Yossi, laundry is more important than washing oneself. Dom Shmuel, Hai Arvavusa Dereisha, if people don't clean their hair, they don't comb their hair, Masla Deavira, it could bring to blindness. As the Rishonim explained, the Gemara says that every hair has its own pore, and those pores are connected to the eyes. Arvusa the mani, if somebody doesn't wash his clothing, masiladei shememusa, it could bring to insanity. Arvusa the gufa, if a person doesn't clean his body, masiladei shichni vikibi, it could bring one to boils. So as the Rishonim explained, all the other things, if somebody has boils, chas v'shalom, if somebody loses his eyesight, not it could be healed. But for insanity, there is no remedy. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi is most careful about washing one's clothing more than anything else. The Ben Yoyoda explains the Gemara homiletically. Aravusa Dereisha means learning. If one is not clear in his learning, Master Davira, he'll be blind, he won't know what to do. Aravusa Demani refers to Rabbonim. If there are machloikis between Rabbonim, Master Day Shemusa, then Klai Yisrael will go insane. They won't know what to do. Ervusa the gufan, if a person doesn't take care of his body properly, that will bring him to all sorts of diseases. Sholchem itam. So they sent the following message from Eretz Yisrael. His harba v'rosa, be careful to remain clean, as we just learned. His harba v'chabura, be careful to learn Torah in a group. And the Mefarsh explained, why should Torah be learned in a group? Because when Torah is learned in a group, people ask each other questions, and they come to the right pshat. Another pshat, Hizhar b'chabura, be careful who is the group that you associate yourself with. And the next thing was, Hizhar b'neim niyim, be careful with the children of paupers, Shemehem teitzei Torah. Torah comes out from the children of paupers. Shenema yizal ma'im medolyoi. Dolyoi is lashon dal, poverty. Shemehem teitzei Torah. So Mefarshim explained, why does the Torah come out specifically from the children of poor people? So the Ran gives two pshatim. One pshat that the Ran gives is that the children of poor people, since they know that they don't have many other opportunities for a profession, so when they learn, they know the Torah is very likely, they're going to be mechanchim, they're going to be rabbeim, they're going to be rabbis, so they learn, they pay more attention to their studies. Another pshat is as it says in Pirkei Avos, Pastor Melech Teichel, Omaim b'Mesura Tishta, success in learning comes when a person is not involved in all the luxuries of Olam Hazeh. Poor people aren't involved in all the luxuries of Olam Hazeh. Another pshat that I saw, interesting pshat, and we're going to discuss this more later in the Shir Mitzvashem. Success in learning involves putting a lot of effort into one's learning. A wealthy person has the ability to buy all sorts of sfarim. He could hire a Rebbe. And Torah comes very easy to a wealthy person. A poor person can't hire a private Rebbe. A poor person doesn't have money to buy all sorts of sfarim. So when he learns, he has to harva. He has to put energy into his learning. That type of learning becomes successful. Another pshat that I saw, interesting pshat, is that wealthy people typically expect more from their children than poor people. Wealthy people want to see their children succeed in life. They put a lot of pressure on their children in their learning. And Torah cannot be, you can't succeed in Torah when you're learning under pressure. Poor people don't put that kind of pressure on their children, and that's why they succeed. But then I saw a different pshat for Ramey Shapiro, a beautiful pshat. Ramey Shapiro says, a poor person sends his child to yeshiva, and he has to pay tuition, and it's difficult for him to be able to pay those bills. If he pays those bills, he sacrifices that he should send his children to yeshiva and pay schar limud, that is the skula that his children will succeed in learning. And he says, that's pshat that we find Rashi says in the first Rashi of Parashat Tzav. Rashi says, ain't tzav, El miyad uladoiris. Whenever you have tzav, it means for future generations. Biyoyset tzorach hakos of lazares, but mokum sheyesh tzorin kis. So he says, what's Rashi telling us? If you have a situation of chisar and kis, a person can't afford to pay the tuition. He sacrifices to pay. What will be his reward? Miyad uladairis. His Torah will remain in his family for future generations. But then I saw a beautiful vort from the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe says as follows. Our Gemara is telling us how we have to be so careful about poor people. So one would suggest that every time a poor person comes, you should give him a donation. So he says, the Gemara is teaching us, Haru b'nei aniyim, when you want to give a donation to a poor person, which poor person should you give tzedakah to? Shemehen teitzah Torah. People who are going to act appropriately to give the tzedakah to inappropriate places is incorrect. Continues the Gemara. So as the Mashal explains the Gemara's question, if we see that poor people have children who are Talmidei Chachamim, wouldn't it make sense, ask the Gemara, that Talmidei Chachamim should have children who are Talmidei Chachamim, yet we don't see that happen? Amar Yosef, Shelo Yomer Torah Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu purposely did it that people shouldn't think Torah is a Yerusha. So the Mefarshim explained it in one of two ways. One is if Talmidei Chachamim would know that their children are automatically going to be Talmidei Chachamim, they wouldn't sin and learn. So if they know it doesn't come by itself, they'll sin and learn. Another pshat is just the opposite. If somebody is not the son of a Talmud Chacham, and he thinks the Torah only goes by Yerusha, so say, what's the point of me learning? I'm not the son of a Talmud Chacham. So Gemara says, it's not a Yerusha. You don't have to be the son of a Talmud Chacham, that you should become a Talmud Chacham. But the Mefarshim also point out that the Gemara says, it's not talking about the children of the Talmidei Chachamim. It's talking about the grandchildren of the Talmidei Chachamim. Talmidei Chachamim, because the Gemara says, "Kamei she'Talmid Chacham u'benoy Talmid Chacham u'ben benoy Talmid Chacham." If somebody is three generations of Talmidei Chachamim, shuv ena Torah pesekas mezaroi. Torah will remain in that family forever. So that's why the third generation has to be super careful. Reshesh b'Reid Rav Yidi Amar k'dei shlo yisgadru al tzibur. If people would think the Torah comes to them, they're entitled to it, they may start acting arrogantly. Mazutra Amar, not because they may act arrogantly, Nashim is Gadron Letzibah. Sometimes Talmidei Chachamim act arrogantly, and as a punishment, their children aren't Talmidei Chachamim. Rav She'ashi Amar Mishum Dekari Le'in Shechamri. They call people donkeys. I saw a number of pshatim. A Talmud Chacham thinks that because a Talmud Chacham thinks because he's a Talmud Chacham, his children will be Talmidei Chachamim. And the child of an Amma Oretz will remain an Amma Oretz. That attitude of calling people who are Maratzim donkeys, that what brings that their children shouldn't be Talmud Chacham. Another pshat is, again, the Gemara is referring to the arrogance, that they consider themselves better. Another pshat that I saw is that it's very important for Talmidei Chachamim not to act in a way that they mistreat people who are not Talmidei Chachamim. If they consider everybody else like their donkey, I'm a Talmud Chacham and everybody has to service me, they're supposed to be donkeys, then my children will, chas v'shalom, not be Talmidei Chachamim. And a last pshat that I saw is that to succeed in learning, one has to be a chamor. He has to work hard, like we discussed earlier. They say, kari l'inchichamri, they say that the other people have to work hard at their learning. But they don't have to work hard at the learning, then they won't have children Talmidei Chachamim. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, Shem Avarchim Torah Techila, because they did not make Birchas HaTorah. Dom Rav Yehuda Marav, Ma'idik Siv, the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, where Yirmiyahu describes the terrible churban of the Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael, Mi'a Ish Chocha V'Yovin Ezez, Dov Ezez Nishal L'Chachamim L'Nevi'im. The Chachamim L'Nevi'im were asked, why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? V'loy Pershua, they were not able to explain. At Shapir Shah Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmai, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained it himself, the Ksiv Yoyma Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? Al Ozom Es Tairosi, because they didn't learn Torah. And the passage continues, L'Shamu B'Kailu V'Lai Holchubo. Ask them, Hainu L'Shamu B'Kailu Hainu L'Lai Holchubo. Why does the passage use this redundancy? Amar Yehuda Merav, She'em V'Varche B'Torah T'chila. They didn't learn Torah, they didn't make a bracha. So as the Ran explains, if the problem was that they weren't learning Torah, so everybody was seeing that they weren't learning Torah. So obviously they were learning Torah. They just didn't make Birchas HaTorah. If somebody didn't make Birchas HaTorah, that's not something that we will notice. And because they didn't make Birchas HaTorah, and we'll first learn the Ran's Pshat, and then we'll perhaps say other Pshatim, because they didn't make Birchas HaTorah, which shows that they didn't have the proper chshivas for Torah, they didn't give it the right importance, it's not something worth making a bracha over, that's why they lost Eretz Yisrael. The Shagas Aryeh, based on this Gemara, says from here we see, says the Shagas Aryeh, that Birchas HaTorah is a Doraisa. Because if Birchas HaTorah wasn't a Doraisa, how could this be such an important issue that Eretz Yisrael should be destroyed over it? And therefore he paskins the Birchas HaTorah is Doraisa, and therefore the halach is, let's say somebody has a question, we typically say Birchas HaTorah in the morning, but the head's not always that clear, you don't remember if you said Birchas HaTorah or not, says the Shagas Aryeh, it's a Sofet Doraisa, and you have to say it over. However, the Paiskim say, don't be so quick to say over Birchas HaTorah. It's a Shaila Brachla Batola. What should you do? The best advice is to go over to someone who didn't yet say Birchas HaTorah and ask them to be Maitzi you. If there's no one like that, so the halach is, if when you say I have a rabbi before Krishma, you have a mind to be Yotze Birchas HaTorah, and right after davening you learn, you can be Mekayim, that's Birchas HaTorah. Another advice, if it's in a day that they lane, get an aliyah, and you make the bracha Shabbat Banu, and you'll be Yotze Birchas HaTorah. However, if all of those options are not available, you should say over Birchas HaTorah. However, the Pesach can say you don't say over all three brachas, you only say over the bracha of Shabbat Banu. Again, the Pesach can also discuss what happens, how do we look at the Birchas HaTorah? Is it a daily obligation, or is it an obligation if you slept, and therefore the question comes up, if one didn't sleep all night, what does he do the next morning? Where our meaning is that if somebody didn't sleep all night, he doesn't make his own Birchas HaTorah. That's the minig shvus at night, for example. Somebody who did sleep makes Birchas HaTorah. However, there's an interesting Rabbi Kiv Eiger. Kiv Eiger says there's a shayla in Shulchan Aruch. If somebody sleeps during the day, does he have to say Birchas HaTorah when he wakes up? So we don't make Birchas HaTorah even if you take a nap during the day. He says, however, if somebody took a nap during the day, even if he was up all night, he can make Birchas HaTorah the next morning. Why? He says, first of all, there are Paiskim that say that every morning you have to make new Birchas HaTorah. Coupled with the fact that there are Paiskim that say that if you take a nap, you have to make Birchas HaTorah. So that's why he says you should make that person could comfortably make new Birchas HaTorah the next morning. The Gemara here, very famous Gemara, says that the reason Beis HaMikdash and Yisrael were destroyed, Ashlai Baruch B'Torah Tchila. And there are many, many Pshatim in this Gemara. We'll try to say a few of them. One pshat is like the Ran said, they didn't give the proper chshivas to Divrei Torah. The Rambam explains that the halach is that a Talmud Chacham, even though normally a Kohen gets the first Aliyah, but a Talmud Chacham goes before an Amoritz Kohen. They didn't have enough respect for Torah, and they allowed a Kohen Amoritz to get an Aliyah before a Talmud Chacham. They didn't give the Talmud Chacham Baruch B'Torah Tchila, they didn't give the Talmud Chacham the opportunity to make the first bracha. Another pshat that I saw is that they learned, but they didn't put effort into their learning. And we know that that's part of the Birchas HaTorah. Lasoik b'divrei Torah. Without learning with Haravanya, you can't succeed. And that's why they didn't, that Eretz Yisrael was destroyed. Another pshat, Shalai Baruch b'Torah Tchila, is that they didn't recognize what Torah is all about. And the Chasam Sofer explains it in two ways. First of all, when one gave a, Elul Safraim says this also, when one gave a bracha to his child, he didn't give his child a bracha, I hope that you'll grow up to be a Talmud Chacham. He gave him a bracha, I hope you'll be a doctor, a lawyer, a wealthy man. Shalai Baruch HaBetairah. They didn't give their children a bracha that their children should be Talmid HaChachamim. The Chasam Sofer says another pshat along the same lines. He says that if somebody was a rabbi and a doctor, they used to call him Dr. Rabbi, not Rabbi Doctor. Shalai Baruch HaTorah Tchila, they didn't speak about Torah before they spoke about anything else. The Chotker Rebbe, again, along the same lines, says the same pshat. He says, people have to go out to work, people have to go out to study. But nobody should go to work and nobody should go to study before they learn. Shalai Baruch HaTorah Tchila, their first energy in learning should have been in Torah, and then they could go study, and then they could go work. Another pshat, that the Chasam Sofer says, and the Beis HaLevi says, Torah could be looked at in two ways. Sometimes somebody learns Torah because he has to know how to do the mitzvahs. But that's not what Torah only is all about. There's a mitzvah to learn Torah all of the time. Shalai baruch hu b'Torah tchila. They didn't make a bracha that Torah for itself is something worth learning. They only learned Torah to know how to do the mitzvahs. That's an improper attitude towards our learning. Another pshat that I saw from the Imri Emes, beautiful pshat, he says as follows. The Beis Yosef asks a question. Let's say somebody gets up in the morning, he says brachas Torah, he has a shir. And then he davens, and then he goes to work all day. And then at night, he comes back to Beis Medrash to learn. So why doesn't he have to make brachas Torah again? If we make bracha before we breakfast, we have to make a bracha before we eat lunch. So he says, Torah is different than everything else. Torah is supposed to permeate everything we do. And even when we're working, it's supposed to be with Torah. They, however, when they learned, they learned. But when they left the Beis Medrash, they left the Torah and the Beis Medrash. Such a person, every time he learns, has to make a new bracha. Ashlai bracha b'Torah tchila. The way they lived, they should have made a bracha every time they learned, because they didn't let Torah permeate their lives. Another pshat that I saw, this pshat I saw from the Slonim Rebbe, he says, pshat like this, beautiful pshat. He says, Eretz Yisrael wouldn't have been destroyed, the Beis Hamikdash wouldn't have been destroyed just because they didn't make Birchas HaTorah. He says, but a person who doesn't make Birchas HaTorah, who doesn't have the right attitude towards learning, could come to do the worst aveiros. Eretz Yisrael was destroyed because they did Gilui Arayos and Shvichas Damim. But where, and Avodah Zarah, but where did they come to such a terrible state? Shalai baruch hu b'Torah tchila. Had they learned Torah, they wouldn't have come to do those aveiros. And the Klaus Megarebbe says the same concept. The Klaus Megarebbe says that the Gemara says that Klai Yisrael chashim mikol umis. Personality-wise, we're not that great always. He says, by learning Torah, that refines our behavior. But if they don't learn Torah, then they end up not being proper, to have the proper behavior. Last pshat that we'll say is that the Gemara says that Eretz Yisrael is considered Eretz HaTzvi. How does everybody have room in Eretz Yisrael? All of Klal Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael will expand. The expansion of Eretz Yisrael is completely dependent on our learning Torah. The more Torah we learn, the more Eretz Yisrael expands. We don't learn Torah, Eretz Yisrael contracts. Ashlei baruch b'Torah, they didn't learn Torah. So Eretz Yisrael shrunk, and there wasn't room for Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. But we'll end this piece of Gemara with a gevalde gevart that I saw from Rav Shach. Rav Shach says, let's understand this. This was an Aveira that nobody noticed. The Nevi'im, nobody was able to identify the Aveira. So what kind of a terrible Aveira is it that nobody could even notice? Says Rav Shach, you know what an Aveira is? An Aveira is not that the next person thinks that I do an Aveira, or does know or doesn't know. An Aveira is what I know that I did an Aveira. Nobody knew that they did an Aveira, but they knew they did an Aveira, and because they knew they did an Aveira, that's why Eretz Yisrael was destroyed. And the Tver Shleimer says, a person has to realize, Ashlei baruch hu b'Torah tchila, all the brachas, all the good things that we can have in life, come from the Torah. And if we recognize that by learning Torah, bracha will come to us, then Eretz Yisrael will be returned to us. And if not, Ashlei baruch hu b'Torah tchila. Says the Gemara, Issa by Yehuda did not come to the shir for 3 days. Why don't you come to the shir? Why don't you come to my father's yeshiva for 3 days? I don't understand your father's shir. And the Shamat Tzion Balacha says, from here you have to be learned that a person has to learn a shir by somebody who he understands the shir from. Amalei, lema mar my kamalei, could you say what you didn't understand when my father said? Tell me yadana tamim, maybe I could explain it to you. Amalei, hadatanya, what we began today's shir with, the Rabbi Yossi, I'm a kvisosun kaidim l'chaim acherim. Rabbi Yossi said that washing one's clothing is more important than somebody else's life. Kramanolam, where does he have a source for this? Amalei, the Ksif, the Pasuk in describing how the cities of Eretz Yisrael should be divided, says, Umigrisheim yila behemtam ulechayoysam. That the city, that there should be cities, in every city, they should set aside a place for the Levim with empty place. It says, ma ulechayoysam. What does chayoysam mean? Ilay mechayo, that there should be place for the animals. The Pasuk already says that you should leave over place for the animals. Alamai chayoysam, chayusam mamish, that they should have place where to live. Pshita, I don't need to say that they need place where to live. Elalav kvisa. The place where, what the pasuk means is, we should leave them a place to do laundry, because as we said before, they could tsar dervavusa. Not doing laundry could cause the issues that we learned on top of the Amid. And in fact, the Pais can say, based on this Gemara, that even though we know that an oval is not to wash his clothing, we could be a little more lenient after the Shiva to allow an oval to do laundry, because our Gemara taught us how important washing and having clean clothes are. There's a machloikas apaiskim that if an oval needs to have his clothing washed and laundered, could he put it on right after it was washed and laundered? Or should he perhaps ask someone else to wear those clothing for a couple of minutes so it should be considered that the oval is wearing freshly laundered clothing? So we learned, Am Rabbi Yossi ain elu nidrei inu nefesh. As we explained in the previous year, according to Rabbi Yossi, not washing one's clothing is not considered, not taking a bath is not considered inu nefesh. Ask the Gemara, Ibarilu Rabbi Yossi, as we explained in the previous year, even though a husband has a right to be made for two types of nadarm, one is inu nefesh, and one is dvarm shebeino lebeino, subjects that affect their relationship. So the Gemara is asking, even though Rabbi Yossi certainly holds that not taking a bath doesn't fall under the category of inu nefesh, why will he hold? Does it fall under the category of beino lebeino? And again, as we learned, and we will learn, there are very significant halachic differences. Inu nefesh is a permanent revocation. Beino lebeino is only as long as they're married. Furthermore, beino lebeino is only the part that affects the husband and wife, not what affects anyone else. Inu nefesh is that the entire nether is revoked. Toshma. So the Gemara attempts to bring a raya from our Mishnah. Om Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, in responding to the Chacham who hold not taking a bath is Inu Nefesh, says, Ein Eilu Nidrei Nefesh. So what does it imply? Nini Nefesh, it's not. Avodvam Shebeino Eilu Beino, Havin, it does fall under that category. Says the Mar, our Mishnah is not necessarily a proof. Because Dimla Dhu Kamalu, perhaps Rabbi Yossi is responding to the Rabbanan. And he's saying like this. Lididi, I myself hold, I feel a dvarma shebeino lebeino lo yhaven. It doesn't even fall under the category of beino lebeino. Lidit chu, the mason haven nidri nefesh. You, who call it ini nefesh, oidli, at least perhaps don't take it to the category of ini nefesh, deine ini nefesh, they're only beino lebeino. But he himself may hold that not even beino lebeino. My, so what is the halacha? Says the Gemara to Machloikis Amaroim, what Rabbi Yossi holds about not taking a bath. Rav Adamar Hava Oma Mefer, because it's considered Beino LeBeino. Rav Huna Oma Ein Mefer. It's not even considered Beino LeBeino. Shlomitzinu Shul Shemeis Ba'af Apir. We never find that a fax dies in the dirt hole that it digs. In other words, a person, the way that we should explain the Gemara, a person could get used to his wife not being washed, and it won't bother him, and therefore it's not even considered beino lebeino. Tanya kavosid of Adar Barahava. However, says the Gemara, there's a brisa that corroborates the opinion of Adar Barahava that not taking a bath, at least according to Rabbi Yossi, is considered beino lebeino. Because the brisa says, dvarim sheish ben inin nefesh, if the nether involves inin nefesh, mefa bein lebeinoi, bein beino lebein acherim. If it involves inu nefesh, the husband has a right to revoke it under all circumstances. However, she'ein ben inu nefesh, if the nether doesn't fall under the category of inu nefesh, beinoy lebeino mefer, if it still falls under the category of beinoy lebeino, he can revoke it. If it's beinoy lebeino cherim, but if it's not involved their relationship, then ein mefer, he has no right to revoke it. Ketzad, what does that mean? Amar koinem peris olai. If a woman made a nether that she won't eat any fruit, as we learned in the Mishnah, that falls under the category of inu nefesh, hareis a yofer, and the husband has a right to revoke that nether. If she said, koinem sheni ois lefi abba, I'm not going to do anything on behalf of my father, lefi achicha on behalf of your brother, lefi avicha on behalf of your father, lefi achi on behalf of my husband, on behalf of my brother, v'shaloi etem tevin, I won't feed animal lufnei behemtecha or mayim lufnei bekarcha, I won't feed your animals. Ein yochel lahofer. In all these cases, she cannot be made for the nether. He cannot be made for the nether. However, the shita mukubetzes says that even though if a woman refuses to help family members, it's not considered a nether that the husband may revoke. The shita says that let's say a woman makes a nether that she won't lend or borrow anything to her neighbors or from her neighbors, that is a nether that the husband can revoke. Because it's impossible for a person to live in an environment that she completely isolates herself from a neighbor, and that's a nether that the husband's allowed to be made for. The Ran asks that the Gemara Masechta Ksuba says that a wife does have to do things in the house. So why does the Gemara here say that if she makes a nether that she won't feed the animals, he can't be made for it? So I saw three terutz. One terutz is that even though a wife has to help, doesn't mean that she has to feed the animals, which is degrading. That's one pshat. Another teretz that the Ran says that our Gemara is referring to a situation that the Gemara Masechta Ksubos, we discussed this, says that under certain circumstances, a woman who brings in many servants into the marriage doesn't have to do these things on behalf of her husband because her servants could do the work. And that's the case of our Braisa. But I saw that the Ritva explains just the opposite. He says as follows. If a woman brings in servants to the marriage, so she has time to do these different types of labor. But let's say a woman doesn't bring any servants. So she has to be busy running the house, cooking and baking and cleaning. So she doesn't have time to take care of the animals. And that's the case of our Braisa, that she didn't bring in any servants, so she's busy with the household work, and she can't be busy taking care of the animals. Continues the Braisa, if she said, she won't set his bed for him, she won't mix the wine for him, she won't wash his feet, the husband doesn't even have to be made for her. She's obligated to do these things on behalf of the husband. Rav Gamliel Amar, on the other hand, says, Yofer Shnema Lo Yachal Dvorai. And as the Rishonim explain, even though Rav Gamliel agrees that the nether is a non-effective nether, it's a non-valid nether, Rav Gamliel says that whenever someone says something, you have to pay attention to what they said, and therefore if the woman made this nether, we have to be careful what she said. Dover Acher Lo Yachal Dvorai, what do we learn from the Pasuk Lo Yachal Dvorai? Mikan L'chokam Sheimater Nidrei Atzmai, that we learned many times in our Masechta, that one of the ways of annulling a nether is by going to the Chacham, who's Mat in Nether. But even though a Chacham has the ability to be Mat in Nether, teaches us the Gemara Chacham can be Mat to someone else's Nedarim, not his own Nedarim. And in fact, it's a Machloikas Rishonim, if b'di'evid, if a Chacham was Mat in the Nether, if it's an effective Hatorah. Says the Gemara, now we prove that this Braisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Man Shmin and the Omer Shloich v'Shloich v'Yisvarm Shebeino Lebeino Haven. Who puts them in this category? Rabbi Yossi, because according to Rabbanan, it's in the category of eating nefesh. The Kamer and Miktani, and yet the Braisa teaches us the Meifer Mishum Dvarm Shebeino Lebeino. So we see that Rabbi Yossi, even though he doesn't consider not taking a bath in the category of eating nefesh, does consider it in the category of Beino Lebeino. Omamar, so the Braisa said, v'shloi shamish mitasi, if somebody says, I won't have relations with you, yofer, the husband should be made for the nether. Mishum dvarim shel beino lebeino, could they fall under the category of beino lebeino? Ask the Gemara, hechi dami, exactly what was the wording of the nether? Ilaim d'omar hanos tashmishi alecha, that the woman prohibited herself to the husband, says the Gemara, lamli afara, why does the husband even have to go through the process of revoking the nether? Every wife is obligated to have relations with her husband. She says that I may not have the pleasure of having relations with you. If a wife says that you can't have relations with me, it's a meaningless letter. He could force her to have relations. If she, on the other hand, says, Tashmish Cholai, she prohibits herself, Yofer, the nether is valid, but the husband should revoke it, Sheim Achilams Ovdam Dov Asaloi, because we don't want the woman to have relations with her husband and violating a nether. Says the Gemara, Man Tana Hod Tanya, who is the Tana of the following Braisa, that says, Dvarim HaMatarim, if something is really permissible, V'Cherim Nogu Ba'Isser, but somebody was Machmer, and he's acts stringently, we should be careful not to act leniently in this matter in front of them, because to be careful that if they see us acting leniently, they may come to act leniently. As we learned before, that you have to be careful with everything you said, and Rav Gamliel was the man that said it. How do we explain lo yachad dvaray? Mikala tam chacham shem mefer nidrei atzmai. Mani, who said this, or Gemara? So Gemara just taught us that something that a person is stringent in, we should not act leniently in front of that person. So firstly, the Beis Yosef says, based on this Gemara, that we see that as soon as somebody acts stringently in a certain matter, even if he didn't verbalize it as accepting it himself a nether, if he acted that way, most Rishonim say three times, it's considered a nether. And it becomes something that he's obligated to do, and if he stops doing it, he has to be mat the nether. So let's say somebody has a chumrah regarding foods that he eats or other actions. If he does it three times, it gets the status of a nether mitzvah, and he has to have ataras nadarim. And that's why the Beis Yosef says that before a person accepts upon himself any stringency, he should say bli nether, that he's not doing it as a nether, so that if it becomes difficult for him to continue acting this way, he shouldn't have a problem that he's violating a nether. The Rishonim also say that, a very important halacha, that when is it considered that somebody accepted upon himself a stringency, that we have to be careful to respect that stringency, is when the person recognizes what he's doing. The person recognizes that al pi halacha, he doesn't have to do this, but he's accepting upon himself a stringency, which is a very commendable act, but he recognizes that there's a halacha and there's chumrah. And he accepted upon himself a chumrah. That's when we have to be careful to respect that person's actions. But if the person thinks that that's what the halacha requires, so you're just making a mistake. There, this Gemara of Dvarim Shenagu, people that are machmer themselves, we're not to be making in front of them, does not apply. Also, the Paiskim draw a distinction between when the matter is an issue that the person verbalized the nether or didn't verbalize the nether. I saw a very interesting shaila by the Netziv. There was someone who had Meiser money, and what he used to do with his Meiser money is, half the money he would send to Eretz Yisrael, and half the money he would keep to distribute to local people. Then, unfortunately, close family member died, and he had very close relatives who were Yisoyimim. So he wanted to divert and now use his stock of money to support the Yisoyimim. So the question is the money that he was already accustomed, that he did this for many years, sending to Eretz Yisrael, is that considered a nether? So the Netziv said, since he never verbalized this nether, he never said it explicitly that I'm always going to give half my stock of money to Eretz Yisrael, and he is continuing to take Meiser. He's just diverting that he's using the Meiser money for his relatives. He wouldn't require Ataras Nedarim. But he does seem to say that if a person makes a nether, a person said explicitly that I'm going to do something, if a situation comes up, even though he's still going to be doing the Dvar Mitzvah, but once he was makabel on himself, he accepted upon himself a nether, if he's going to stop doing it, he requires Ataras Nedarim.